Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 409. I'm Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nick to the First Power, Nicole Shiro.
Me.
You're listening to us on KOOP. Oh my gosh, you are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Also streaming on KOOP.org. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. On the show today, we are joined by Cabernet Cabaret and their show, Sunny Side Up. Later on in the show, we are going to talk to Broadway Across America's production of The Phantom of the Opera. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Louisiana, and Alaska. Don't go away.
Washington Heights!
Boing!
I love that you played that. Did you know I was listening to that earlier this
No,
week?
I did not.
That's kind of funny.
I love In the Heights. And actually, there's a reason why I'm playing it.
Tell me.
And we're going to talk about it in the local section, but the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards were last Thursday.
See?
And In the Heights won Best Musical. And shut up! Shut the front door!
No way!
It's true. And we will hold everybody in suspense, and I will tell them the name of the school when we get to the local section. That will keep people here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Zing, zing. Well, we are missing one Nick Mayo.
I know. You lost one Nick last week. You gained a Nick. You lost another Nick. There's no Nick squared.
There's no Nick squared. It's Nick to the First Power.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, you're a powerful Nick.
Yeah, but, you know, it's nice when you have both Nicks.
You
Nick
got the
and
Nick in
just
the morning and the Nick at night.
Two Nicks are better than one.
Yep. Okay.
Boom, boom.
I nicked my leg shaving this morning.
Oh!
Well, so how are you, Nicole?
I'm good.
You're a little tired today.
Shiro, I thought you gave me a new last name earlier.
I did. What was it? I forgot what it was already.
Shafford.
Shafford. Okay.
Yeah, Shafford.
Well, I think that that's a good thing. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have a relatively small crowd for
it's
us.
It's small and intimate, and I'm
it's
kind
small
of
and intimate.
It.
Here,
very cabaret-like.
On mic number.
Bum, bum,
zing. We should have a glass of red wine.
We should.
On mic number 3, we have Nathan Daniel Ford.
Hi.
How are you?
Pull that
microphone closer to you, please.
All right.
And then on mic number 4, we have Emily Villarreal.
Hello.
And then finally on mic 5, which of course is our favorite mic.
It is. That's the mic where nobody else can hear you but us.
Zachary Scarborough.
Hello. Thank you for having us on.
Well, you know what?
Actually,
try that again with that microphone
again.
On.
Hello. Thank you for having us on.
It's our favorite mic, but it works best when turned
when
on.
When turned on.
Yep. And that's how I work best too, by the way. Zing. It's true.
You are on fire today.
Well, listen, you know who else was on fire? Kim Simpson in the International Folk Bazaar. He had Charlie Lockwood, in-house guest. He doesn't do guests a lot.
I was just about to say, he doesn't do a lot of in-house guests,
great.
But today he was doing
and you know,
it.
You know, Charlie Lockwood, there's an oud player.
Is that not kind of cool? Don't you like saying that?
Oud?
Oud.
Oud player.
Say it again.
Oud player.
Tell me more.
I love it. I don't know what an oud is, but it's good.
It's fun to say.
So, you know what we're rocking on to, I think a week from tomorrow is the deadline for the Tonys. But I believe that as of last night, I believe all the contenders have opened.
I believe so.
And we had 3 this week.
We did.
Tres esta semana.
Oh.
Es el español.
Si.
Es verdad.
That would be un trois en français.
Oui. Oui, comment no.
It'd be un sun, un nihon.
I'm going to start with Ich nisan shigoroku sichi hachikuchu.
Ich nisan shigoroku.
Emily is looking like she's
having such a good time right now. I'm just enjoying
okay.
This is great.
That's my counting 1 to 10 in
That's
Japanese.
That's good. Well, I have to learn the song. I don't know it. But don't.
Ichi ni san chi go roku sichi hachi
Oh, you do 7 and 8 twice.
Yeah, you do. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9,
Boy,
10.
I so wish the webcam was up today.
With
because
my hands?
You've got the hands going.
That's how
You're
I...
sort of like that, that little thing that does this in the nail shops. Okay. I'm going to start with the funnest one that opened, and oh my God, you know, run, do not walk to this show, right?
Right.
So
unless you're Andy Carl. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
And you will limp.
Then you'll limp.
Groundhog Day admits major excitement. Monday morning, it was set to open Monday night. On Monday morning, we did not know whether the star was going to be performing.
Well, I had a feeling because if he didn't, it wouldn't have been eligible for the Tony. No. And
It would have been, but he
would not have been.
There were a lot of different theories. Some people thought he might come in and do the opening number and then replace him. Because in order to be eligible for the Tonys, here's something that I learned.
This is why I knew he would do it. When he injured himself during the performance and knew he was hurt and they called the doctor and stopped the show... And then he proceeded to go back out and finish the show with a cane. I was like, dude's coming back for opening on Monday.
So those people
Rocky.
So those people that don't know what we're talking about, A, he played Rocky in Rocky Top's musical. So Andy Carl on Friday took a spill. He was leapfrogging over another actor, and he came down, and very much like me in Oh Brother, because everything comes back to that, he tore his ACL.
Correct.
On a Broadway show accident.
Yeah. In the middle of the show.
And by tearing it, and this is, again, exactly what happened to me, it not only, because there's levels of tear in the ACL, it split right in two, which I can attest is really, really nasty.
It's not good when the show stops and in the loudspeaker you hear,
is there a doctor in the house? They actually said that. But he did. It was stopped for 15 minutes. He came out on a cane and finished it.
Yep.
And then his...
He's Rocky, man. He's Andy Carl.
Incredible.
His understudy went on Saturday. His understudy's name is—it's so funny. Is Andrew Carr?
They're very close, right?
I know.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny?
It's a tongue twister when you try to put them all together.
But this was a show that was plagued with technical problems. These massive turntables that kept breaking. And even broke the night that Ben Brantley went to see it.
Eight.
They had to stop.
8 turntables.
Yeah. So it's pretty incredible. But love story to the show, love story to him. Not anything really bad about this. Ben Brantley calls it a dizzyingly witty musical.
Oh, what's the title? I mean, the headline of the whole article sums it up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. The love.
Right. Well, that is the title. A Star Is Born and Born and Born and Groundhog Day talks about Andy Carl, but the review is more overarching. He did a great job. He was certainly carrying the show, and not easy to do when you have to follow Bill Murray in this iconic show. It was on TV just yesterday. I watched it again. It's one of those shows that if it's on TV, I watch it because I love it.
It's good.
I love it.
I love it, too.
I love it. So during the night that Ben Brantley went to see it, the turntable, and it's when they're driving the car, drunkenly driving the car, and that's when the turntable broke and they had to do it. So this was written by your boy Tim Minchin, the music.
I know. The guy's a genius.
And is directed by Matthew Warchus. Both of them did Matilda.
Genius.
And
geniuses.
You love your Tim Minchin.
And I love my Matilda.
The book is
too.
By Danny Rubin, who also did the film along with what's his name?
I can't think of the other dude's name, but I know you're talking about.
So of Andy Carl, Ben Brantley says he unconditionally owns the role of Phil Connors, which is pretty cool. When you think of Bill Murray unconditionally owns the role of Bill.
Yeah.
So it's evidently a totally different and incredibly fun take on this.
There was an article over the weekend or right afterwards. There's another article in the Times where they interviewed Andy post-show after everything. Mm-hmm. And although it's an article about Andy, it really gives you a lot more insight about... That's how I learned there were actually 8 turntables and the technical aspects. It was a nice... piece about what it meant, and then they really explain this injury, and you're like, good God, man, what are you doing?
It's bad. I
it's
lived
bad.
It. There's just no way that I could go on. And he's got a... Here's an interesting thing. I didn't realize this. So I thought to be eligible for the Tony, you had to perform in the opening night. I knew you had to do that. But you also have to perform, and it's not specific, but it says the rules require that he appear enough times to allow the approximately 850 Tony voters to access his performance. So he can't, I thought he would like open the show and then
hang out for a while.
But he's going to have to come on and do some shows. It's pretty incredible. Incredible, as we say.
Yeah.
He's Rocky
Andy.
Das
he's Rocky
musical.
Das musical. I mean, come on, dude.
Did you know that Rocky was a musical? There's a musical.
I didn't know.
There was a musical called Rocky, starring one Andy Carl. Mm-hmm. So there's an article. So there's a link to not only the Ben Brantley review, but an article about Andy Carl. And since we always show how the sausage
is
made here, I'm going to have to ask you to take that water out of the studio, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't even see.
Allowed to have that. He didn't listen to the rules going in. He's in big, big trouble. And for those of you wondering, that was Nathan Daniel Ford. He is in big trouble.
Thank you. He's like, thank you.
So, in the article, in the interview, this article specifically about Andy Carl and doing this, which was written by, it's written by Michael Paulson, who does a lot of the blogging.
Mm-hmm.
It says, after the curtain call, during the ovation from the crowd, he punched his hands in the air and shouted, "Champions adjust," a maxim associated with Billie Jean King and often quoted.
That's hilarious. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Andy Carl sounds like, when reading about him, he seems like a genuinely wonderful man.
Well, if Nick Mayo was here, he could tell us about it. He said he is.
Well, but Nick Mayo is not here.
He's not here. So,
and he's dead to me right now. So
on you, Nick Mayo.
Wow. We spent a lot of time on that, but we should
it's
have.
Andy
it
was, Carl.
It's Andy Carl. It's Andy Carl.
I mean, Hugh Jackman better watch out. Andy Carl's on his tail.
The other thing that opened that we won't spend a whole bunch of time on because we spent time on it last time was Oslo, which moved just up a few flights of stairs, really, from downstairs at Lincoln Center to upstairs at Lincoln Center to the Mitzi Newhouse. And people were worried because it was such an intimate little theater below that they were worried that it wasn't going to do well in the bigger space. But evidently it did. This is another big love letter. The Oslo, to remind folks, we talked about it when it opened off Broadway, is about the couple that basically brokered the Oslo Accords between Israel and the Palestinian Liberation Army. And, of course, for some reason, there it is.
I was like, you can't find the paper?
I found the paper. But always, very good reviews, pretty much all the way through. It stars Jefferson Mays and Jennifer... Mays and Jennifer, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Ehle?
That sounds right.
Okay, whatever.
That works for me. sorry, Jennifer, if it's not.
But it's a 3-hour show, straight play, and everybody says you don't feel it.
Right. I mean, I can't argue. I can't say you can or not. You know what I mean? But that's good.
Yeah. So here, let's read this quote from Marilyn Stasko for Variety. She said, "What would it take to get you to Lincoln Center Theater to see a 3-hour political drama about the 1993 peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinian Liberation Army known as the Oslo Accords? I doubt this review is going to do it," which really is a shame because Oslo, a new drama by J.T. Rogers, is unequivocally fascinating. Lincoln Center subscribers should know how lucky they are having the opportunity to see director Bartlett Shear's striking production of this compelling drama.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Wow. I would like that written about my show.
Here's a picture of it. If you want to see it.
Wow.
So run, don't walk.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting... Well, we'll talk about that in a second. So remember I said it's going to be an interesting ... and I'll finish that sentence in a second. Opening last night was indecent.
Yes.
Which I knew very little about the show, and now I'm like fascinated to see it. Do y'all know about it?
Lisa, no, I was the same way. I was like, what? And then I'm now fascinated myself by it.
It's the story of the production of Shalom Ash's God of Vengeance, which was done in the 1920s,
I think.
1922, Yiddish theater, and it portrays, it was the very first kiss between two women, same-sex kiss on stage, which they cut when it went to Broadway, and it still got banned. They had to close down after just a few weeks. And so this is the story of that story. Really incredible.
It just sounds so beautiful.
And this is Paula Vogel, Pulitzer Prize winner. As we talked earlier a few weeks ago, this was her Broadway debut, along with Rebecca Teichman, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, who's the director, and she helped write this play. But it's really, it sounds like an incredible show.
I totally agree. I was kind of like, what is this? And I found myself, I was like, oh, I'm spending a lot of time trying to learn about this show.
And people will like go, really? They did, they had a same-sex kiss in 1922? That just is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Awesome sauce.
It's awesome sauce. All right.
I love that this story was told again. And the images that I saw from it looked nice, too.
Yes.
Did you see them? No.
I'm trying to think whether I did. I did a lot of interweb surfing of shows and saw lots of images. Speaking of images, Here Lies Love is opening at Proscenium in a Proscenium version of it in somewhere, but they had pictures of it and it was, it looks amazing.
You know, what's funny is when I saw that, I was like, I wonder what Lisa's going to think because amazing. It is the Proscenium and not the immersion. And
it looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. So, you know, the Tony committee was just having the darndest time finding a host. They asked everybody.
I was about to say, I think everybody turned him down,
Everybody turned him down. Tina Fey, they wanted Tina Fey. They wanted...
shouldn't Tina Fey be hosting after Mean Girls opens on Broadway and not before?
Which, by the way, the tickets to Mean Girls just went on sale or are going on sale tomorrow, I think.
Just saying,
when
Tony.
When is that opening?
It's opening in October. And not in New York. It's opening in... It's going to come to New York, but I think
it's in D.C.
Yeah, I think it's in D.C. to begin with.
Cool.
But the tickets are just going on sale. Spacey was the 15th choice.
How do you think Spacey feels?
Well, I have a quote. If I can... I need
is
extra
it a
glasses.
Is it a Susan Lucci?
If he didn't publicize that.
I've got to see if I can find it. So he said, I was their second choice for The Usual Suspects. Fourth choice for American Beauty and 15th choice to host the Tony Awards. I think my career is definitely going in the right direction.
Oh my God, I love it.
I love him.
Good
though,
for him.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love him.
Me too.
He's incredible.
But they asked, let's see, Tina Fey, Neil Patrick Harris,
Hugh.
They asked Nick Kroll and whatever.
They asked Corden again, I think, too.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Love them.
Yeah, get that microphone closer to you. I'm just going to keep yelling at you. You can actually physically bring it down to you.
Redheaded stepchild.
I don't know how I feel about him. He's actually a Tony winner for, what do you want a Tony for?
I was about
for?
To say, he's won a Tony.
Lost in Yonkers. Mm-hmm. It makes me angry that I'm older than he is. Oh. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm sorry. Why don't I take that up with him?
Please see if you can't do something about that. I would really appreciate it. But you know, we're used to seeing a big musical number at the top of the Tonys. And one of the things that
he's not a real musical kind of
guy. He's not, although he does sing. They kept the Tony committee said that they definitely did not want a song and dance at the opening because they said, and I just don't agree with this, that the number that James Corden did last year, you could never top. And that's bulldookie, if you ask
that's
me.
That's malarkey, if I've ever heard
it's
it.
It's malarkey. That's exactly the
Whoever
word I would say.
Whoever their publicist or statement writer is should be fired.
Fard.
Because
F-A-R-E-D.
That is an
F-A-R-E-D.
Awful
Fard.
Explanation.
Yep. So the Tonys
are... We wanted to say do something new and fresh. I mean, that sounds better than you can't top what happened last year.
That's right. Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I just want to know why so many people said no. Like 14 no's?
There were a lot of reasons.
Some of them were for projects and scheduling. It wasn't a poo-poo on you kind of thing.
No, yeah, it was not. Okay. It was not. They were not being
busy people.
Dissed.
Yeah,
because I mean, I would kill to see Hugh Jackman host the Tonys in 2008 when he hosted the Oscars. Was the year I graduated from high school, and it was like to
he's
this day,
the Tonys.
Like I remember.
He
That's
did
what she just said.
Yeah, no, she was talking about the Oscars. And
oh, did you say the Oscars?
I was talking about the Oscars, but I hadn't seen it when he hosted the Tonys.
He did it one year.
And he did it one year, which I wasn't crazy about.
See, I enjoyed it. And Neil came back on. He's like, J.J. Watt, what can he do?
Okay, we need to move on because I wanted to talk about, you actually brought this in about Audra handling his cell phone. And she was an interview on, and I think it was Playbill.com with Audra McDonald. And before we get into that, I need to say, so I went to see Lady Day at Zach, mm-hmm. and Chanel does a great job. It's a very nice production, and it's really good. And I did not see the HBO Audra McDonald version, but I sat and watched it this morning. Chanel is good. She's really, really good. Audra McDonald is phenomenal.
She's Audra McDonald.
I know. Yeah. It's just amazing how good she is.
Yeah. It's Audra McDonald.
I know.
She's legendary.
Amazing.
She's incredible.
So what was her thing about the cell phone?
Well, it was actually, this was an interview with Seth Rudinsky.
It was with Seth Rudinsky.
They were talking, they went on, and he was over in England. She's been doing the role over in the UK, doing Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And it's a very, I don't know if you know the show, the audience is very part of it. It's very interactive. You talk to the audience. Will someone in a cell phone go off?
And not breaking character as Billie Holiday, how do you handle a cell phone when cell phones aren't around in 1959? Yeah.
Right. And it didn't stop. It incessantly rang.
Yeah, no one turned it off. It just kept going.
Oh,
and going. And
like
going.
Like the ever-ready phone.
And she basically, she said it wouldn't stop. She came center stage. She basically was turning around in a circle over and over and over in a distinctive Billie Holiday voice yelling, "What a beep is that? What a beep is that? What a beep is that?" Like yelling and screaming about this crazy. And Billie had used profanities a lot.
That's a lot.
Very a part of Billie's character. And just went on and on and on. And I guess everybody was laughing. And I was like, you know what? As simple as that solution is, I don't know if I would have thought of that right away. No. And what a hilarious moment and a great way to handle it. I mean, that's a demanding role. There isn't other people to save you with something like
there's
that.
There's the pianist, it's the Sonny
Jimmy Powers.
Yeah, Jimmy slash Sonny.
But I laugh so hard, and that's so not Audra McDonald on top of it.
True.
Like, it's not who she is. I mean, it's who Billie Holiday is, but I just laughed so hard. I was giggling at that. I don't know why that story made me giggle.
No, it was funny. So I went to see Beauty and the Beast this weekend.
The movie?
The movie.
And?
I liked it. Anybody else see it?
Yes.
Not yet.
What do you think?
I'm not seeing it.
It was entertaining.
Do you like the show?
I do.
Okay. Do you like the cartoon? I guess it's not. They don't call them cartoons, do they?
Animation.
I liked it. I wasn't one that I was really attached to as a child, but I did like it.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the animation?
Why would I? It's outside of my age
bracket.
Listen,
I have no children. I'm a middle-aged woman, and I own so many Disney movies.
Well, but see, I don't think
I don't know what to tell
you. I don't think that you are the norm that everybody should be basing in.
Fox and the Hound. Fox and the Hound is my favorite.
Oh, so anyway. Sad.
What's anyway, sad?
All right, let me get control because we're running out of time. Let's go back to Beauty and the Beast. It was cute.
Yeah, visually it looks pretty. I haven't gone. There's so many other films I want to see. I don't have time.
Yeah, I cried.
See it.
Yeah, it is. I teared
it's
up.
It's a great story.
It's really pretty. I
and
totally
she
agree.
Was good. Emma
Watson.
Watson. I just stop at Emma because I know I'm going to say the wrong last name.
Watson.
Emma Watson. She's adorable.
She is.
She's adorbs.
Lovely little lady.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. And then so I also I read this article. I'm interested that you sent it over. And I'm glad you did because, you know, I like my technical theater, but you sent a whole thing. There's a Playbill did an interview with a stagehand and you sent that to me.
I know.
I'm curious what it was that you said stagehand with snows and he talked about making the snow with boxes I forgot which show it was for.
Oh, I know. And I tried to open up the article and it wouldn't open up before. I was giggling. It snows. It was just, we were talking about technical and mm-hmm. I know that you love it and we love to talk about the technical stuff, but he was, I cannot think of the show now either.
We'll come up with it.
Yeah. But it snows 2 to 4 inches every night on stage. And I mean, that's a lot of snow. It's one thing to make a little bit of snow, but that's a lot mm-hmm. of snow. So I just found it interesting that they really talked this guy. He was so into making a snow.
Yeah.
He was so into cleaning it up. Like,
but they talked about...
And they talk about... Keep going. Go ahead.
No,
you go.
Well, it wasn't just about snow. It was basically talking about what he does as a stage technician. The snow was just one question that he answered. But he talks about he's a false spot operator.
How to transcend in a happy marriage, Marissa Tormes.
Oh, right.
Show.
Right. He is the false spot operator on that show.
Yeah. And he was I mean, he's worked at Lincoln Center for the past 5 years. So he talked about various different roles that he's played in productions and what he does on technical sides. But he just, I love that. I was like, 2 to 4 inches of snow on stage. And I got totally sucked in and really read the article and watched a little video. And
it's awesome.
I love a glimpse behind the stage.
Me too. Well, we're going to have to go and take a break right now. The there are some articles that we missed that you can find if you go to offstageonair.com. And that is the cast of Frozen. They cast that. There's an article about Concert for America and also the most fabulous story ever told. It's been done in Atlanta, which is a very controversial, very interesting articles. I'd suggest you to go to offstageonair.com and read them. And the person that won the award for best female in a musical for the Greater Austin Musical High School Musical Theater Awards, which will give you her name later, was from Barnum. So let's listen to Barnum, shall we?
Yes, let's. The Lord gave each and every.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick to the First Power.
Just me.
We have been talking to Nathan Ford, Nathan Daniel Ford, Emily Villarreal, and hold on, nobody go away, Zachary Scarborough. Now we're going to talk to them about their show that they're doing, which is Cabernet. Cabaret. See what we did there?
Yeah.
So, Emily, you are the creator of this project. So, why don't you tell us about it?
I went to school in the Northeast in Purchase, New York. And after I graduated, I moved to New York City and I took part in some local cabaret performance venues where performers were asked to pay a fee to perform in a cabaret setting and have it filmed. So
like the one at Birdland and et cetera?
Yeah, they're all, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Austin, I noticed that there weren't any venues like that I noticed going on. So Zach and I were just like, we should try to make one. We should try to make this happen. And sure enough, we held auditions. We got an immense response. A lot of people wanted to be involved, showcase new talent, try out new material. Mm-hmm. And we worked with the Brass House and put on our first one, and it was a huge success.
Awesome.
So we decided to make it a series. Our goal was to do 4 a year with a specific theme.
Yep.
And we're on our third one now.
Awesome. That's awesome. So your first one was at the Brass House. Was the second one, where was the second one?
Second one was at Speakeasy.
At Speakeasy, which is that now your permanent home?
I wouldn't say permanent. I think we're still filling it out. But right now, it's our home. Right now, we're really happy with Speakeasy.
It's a great space.
Yeah.
It is a cool space.
I've never been there. Is it? It's on 6th Street, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on Congress.
It's on Congress, isn't it?
Yeah, the back, because you're thinking about the back where that, I don't remember what that is.
I'm not thinking of anything.
5th and Congress.
Where that,
I'm not old enough to go to clubs.
The Spaghetti Warehouse used to be. I don't remember what it is now, but.
Yeah, there's a sushi bar up there too,
right across the street.
True Lux is there, Lisa. We go there.
We love True Lux, although I think we're missing.
Been in a while.
Crab claw season's almost over.
We better go get it.
Okay, since we've sort of taken a tangent on our own, we're gonna continue this tangent, and I asked Nathan to pick a number between 2 and 54 during the break. What did you say?
47.
47. Let's hear what that is.
Hi, I'm former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on Austin's KOOP 91.7 FM.
Oh my God! All those technical glitches were totally my fault. That was Barney Frank.
Yeah, I don't think unless Barney played last week and I was in here when I was in here. I haven't heard Barney in a while.
Okay, cool. I thought we had heard him, but I guess I was wrong. You know who we heard? We heard Sandra Bernhardt, who was also on the telephone.
Oh,
except he was not on the telephone. Anyway, so back to Cabernet. Cabernet Cabaret. And why did you choose that name? Is it just because it's alliterative and fun?
My best friend, I was trying to think of something catchy and something that people would remember and something that I could shorten on social media. And she thought, Cabernet Cabaret. And I was like, yes, let's do it.
So one of the things I like about yours, and we do have a similar thing here called Curtain Call, which is more like, Jim Caruso's house party. Where people just come and sign up. But what I sort of like about you is you have two acts. Why don't you explain how your acts are separated?
Yeah. First act, we get 8 to 10 performers, and the first act is all about them. They pick a song from their rep or a song that represents who they are as individuals or performers, and they can choose whatever they want to wear, and they perform it. And our MC, David Higgins, who we've used all 3 times, afterwards will talk to them and the audience about what they're doing, what they're working on, where they're from, and just gives them the opportunity to get their information out.
And the second act?
There's a theme that I pick. And
it's nice to be queen, isn't it?
It is nice. Even if I made the throne myself.
whatever gets you there.
That's a productive woman. That's good.
So, I pick a general theme, and I pick a bunch of numbers, group numbers, duets, solos, and each performer sings what I tell them to sing. And most of the time, everybody has been happy with my picks. And the last 2 times, we've added a couple group numbers, choreography, and it's been a whole lot of fun.
And is it piano accompaniment?
Yes.
Who's your pianist?
Tyler Groft.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, we like Tyler.
Now, wait a minute. Choreography. So, like, do you have a lot of rehearsals? Are you learning that night? Like, how does that work?
Well, this Sunny Side Up, we didn't add any choreography. For Bewitched, we did in October. That was our Halloween theme. We did a few numbers where we did add lots of detailed choreography. And we try to have as little rehearsals as possible. So I'm very, like, this is when we're doing this. And it's just very... loss of words.
It's okay. Magical. It happens to us all the time.
Yeah. My thoughts run together and then I can't get it out. But I'm manage my time really well with making sure that the choreography is not too complicated. So they're able to learn it and I film it for them and then I send it to them later.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah.
So you shoot it and then and they learn it on their own and come in and just do it.
Yeah. Well, we usually take like an hour to learn it. And then I film what we've learned, and then I send it back to them so they can review on their own time.
I love that you do that. So often
that's
how the
dance world works these days, though. A lot of these auditions and things, they'll send this choreography, and you have to send back this stuff.
That's true.
That sounds really hard. It terrifies me.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true.
It's super difficult to get all these talented actors. I mean, they all have shows and things they're in, so it's hard to get them all
at one place at one time.
So we don't have a lot of time with them, but it's worked out very well.
So, Zachary, you act as producer on this. And when we talked about this before we went on the air, you said I'm one of the producers.
Me and Emily produced the show. I come from a zero musical background.
ZMG, we call that.
Yeah. So I kind of started just writing the checks, getting this all going.
Uh-huh.
I knew the...
Oh, you're the money producer.
I'm the money
Good. I need to talk to you after.
He can just stay here and we'll get him to write some more checks.
But no, I knew the owner of the Brass House and it all started to try to put some people in there.
Didn't the Brass House close?
It did.
Yeah, it's gone. Right. That was a shame. It was a beautiful
thing. It's a shame.
And that's where Curtain Call was as well.
It was where Curtain Call was. They supported Austin Shakespeare. They were really good about using their space for the arts organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a big bummer on a lot of different levels.
True.
Womp. True.
Jason, the owner, is a great guy. And, you know, he tried.
I've chit-chatted with him as well. Nathan... Have you done all... You're on your third. So have you done the first two?
This is my first one, actually.
Your first one. Are you nervous?
That's uno en español.
Sí.
As nervous as I get at this point. I've been singing for, I guess, about 8 years now. And so I certainly, when it's something that we haven't had a lot of rehearsals for, there's still a little bit of nerves around it. But we had a good dress rehearsal last night, so I'm feeling pretty pleased about it.
Yeah. So when is the show? Is it tonight?
Tonight.
Mm-hmm. Tonight. Awesome. That's good.
Tonight.
Won't be just any night. Well, you're going to actually sing for us, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Can you tell us a little ditty?
He's got a ditty. Here's a little ditty we sing in the city. Drink in the beer. Love Oliver. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Did Spring Come to Texas from the musical Giant.
Lovely.
I was like, what a great choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
Hopefully,
it's all queued up on the thing, and we'll see. If not, we'll fix it because we just watch the sausage being made here.
That's what we do.
Here we go.
A Waited out the drought, waited out the long winter, waited out the rains, waited out the blue northers, waited for the brush to grow so thick. Now the snake's gotta climb out to sea. Waited for the season to finally stick. Is it here? Did it stick? Tell me, boys, that it's just gotta be. Did spring come to Texas? Are the birds going loco? Did spring come to Texas? Did the mesquite and the laurel and the wild cherry and the guajillo burst out right out through the rains and powder the prairie grass white? Did spring come to Texas? Waited plenty times, waited for each Christmas morning, waited for my first gun, waited for my first pony, waited for the woman I'd make my wife, knowing I'd find her somehow, waited for that woman all my life. Tell me, boys, how's it work that I still gotta wait for her now? Texas, and we're just going local. My girls come to Texas, and the mesquite and the laurel and the wild cherry and the guajillo seem to have blossomed for her. And I gotta swallow my pride. I waited for the greening, for the roundup, for the roping, for the branding, for the ranchers and the cowboys to ride. Spring came to Texas.
Wow, awesome.
That made me happy.
That made me happy, too. And that's from Giant. That's something I don't know very well, but we did talk about when it opened.
Yeah, I've heard bits and pieces of the music. I knew that's... I'd heard that song. I couldn't sit here and sing you all the lyrics, but I was just
so
lovely.
That's awesome. You must be very excited for tonight.
Yes, we are.
Where can folks go to get more information about this show?
We have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. If you just put in the search engine, Cabaret ATX, mm-hmm. And you'll find us right away. It's a nice... pretty red picture.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a learning experience and just awesome.
Well, great. Once again, that's tonight, right? At the Speakeasy.
Tonight at 7:00.
And the Speakeasy is located where?
On Congress.
Just anywhere on Congress?
It's Fifth and Congress.
Fifth and
there
Congress.
There it is. Okay, thank you for that.
Just show up on Congress. You'll see it.
There's a blue
it's a
sign.
Small show.
Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Hopefully all or some of you can join us backstage.
Yes.
Yes.
We would like that.
Yes.
That was Emily Villarreal, mm-hmm. Zachary Scarborough, and Nathan Daniel Ford of Cabernet Cabaret's Sunnyside Up at the Speakeasy tonight at 8 o'clock. For more information, search Cabernet ATX on Facebook, and we will be right back. Keep your sunshine. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole to the First Power.
Just me.
We'll have to keep this relatively short as usual, running behind.
Gasmata.
The Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards happened, and I'm hoping we have time. I actually would like to read all the winners because
I would like to hear the high school that went In the Heights.
In the Heights was Hendrickson High School.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. The best actress in a leading role, which we heard Glenn Close sing. I forgot that Glenn Close was in Barnum.
that's right.
She played she played Barnum's
the lady
wife.
In Barnum.
Yeah, the lady in Barnum. The best actress in a leading role was Sophie Niles, McNeil High School. The best actor in a leading role was Matthew Kennedy. For playing the leading player in Pippin at Leander, and he was put in the day before the show.
Didn't you see him?
I did see him.
I remember
he was
when you
awesome.
Went to see that, right?
Best ensemble was Oliver. Speaking of that song,
sounds
I
like
sung.
You love the Oliver
at Vandergrift. Also, not also. Best direction was for Curtains at Anderson High School.
I love that musical.
Lighting design in the Heights, Hendrickson. They said best orchestration, but it was really best orchestra. It was Cinderella at Marble Falls High School, which I saw. Best technical execution, Me and My Girl at McCallum, which I know a lot of people that went to see that said it was pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Best actress in a supporting role, Keira Thomas for Your Good Man Charlie Brown at Cedar Park High School, and she was
and
awesome.
You love that show, too.
I love the show, and I love their take on the show because they didn't do the standard. They took chances. It mm-hmm. was not usually you do it a la cartoon. Mm-hmm. And they did a more realistic take on it, which I thought was really sort of fun. Best actor in a supporting role, Logan Caraway, Vista Ridge High School. They don't say what show, so I don't know what he won for. Best choreography was Cedar Ridge High School. The best scenic design was In the Heights. That's three for them. Rouse High School. Best orchestra, again. It's weird. They have orchestration and orchestra, but there was no
but
a judge.
They're writing their orchestration.
Right. So I don't know why orchestration is there.
Did they change stuff?
No. Nice work if you can get it at Lhasa. Best costume design at Cedar Ridge. And the best student design was Nico Bermea for choreography of In the Heights at Rouse. So congratulations to all those people.
They
worked so
hard. I love that there's a student design in there.
Congrats. Yes.
Awesome. Today in theater history.
Today in theater history.
Maybe. I got to find the sheet.
I can pull it up if you want me to.
No, because I choose what we're going to say. I have notes.
Well, I can choose
here it
my
is.
Own.
I got it. So 1946 is the birthday of one Tim Curry.
One born anniversary.
And Tim Curry is known for many, many things. Most people know him from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
They also don't realize that he was also Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Show on Broadway.
Yes, don't forget Clue. Mm-hmm.
And don't want to forget. Don't want to forget. He was a replacement in Amadeus and played Mozart.
Yeah.
And he suffered a pretty massive
stroke. A debilitating stroke.
Yeah, and so... And no word on. I went and looked and see if there's anything new on
well,
him.
Well, okay. Did you not see him in Rocky Horror recently in the remake?
On Fox,
I saw him. Yeah,
he
but I didn't.
He still is not. He's still in the wheelchair and he's still
there.
Not fully
yep.
speaking. But he's out and about here and there. So.
He's oot in a boot, as we say in Canada.
Oot in a boot, live him.
1956, Waiting for Godot.
Godot or Godot?
No, this wasn't. This
are
one
you sure it was
Godot.
In Godot? Which one was it?
Actually, it was E.G. Marshall and the man that played the lion in Wizard of Oz. Anybody? Anybody?
Bert Lahr. No,
Bert Lahr.
Yeah. There it is.
Don't mess with my wizard trivia.
And did you take acting at HB Studios by any chance? Because Herbert Bergdorf was the Herbert Berghoff.
I was
the
Herbert
director.
Bergdorf owned the department owns the department store.
Let's see. So in 1979. The Elephant Man opened on Broadway.
Was that the one you worked on?
No, I worked off Broadway before. I didn't work with it when it got onto Broadway, but I did. That was actually, it played at the booth, and I actually went on to the stage because we were doing something at the
you
stage.
You took a moment.
But I did, same cast. It was off Broadway at, oh God, what was the name of that theater? I forgot. It was on the east side, 54th Street. But Carol Shelley and Kevin Conway was in it, along with Philip Angham, who created the role. I did it again with, that's why we went over there, because it was when I did it the second time with Matthew Caulfield and...
Maxwell Caulfield. Because he's a cool writer. Don't discredit Grease 2.
Okay. I don't know.
He's
this is also
in
2001,
movie.
The anniversary of the opening of...
2001?
The Producers.
Oh, really?
Producers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Birthdays... Yeah, so I'm gonna switch that because we're running late. Oh, this is also, I have to say this because I loved it. 2015, 2 years ago, Fun Home opened.
Oh, yeah. Has it really been 2 years?
Yep.
Jeepers.
Birthdays, Dudley Moore, 1935.
Oh!
Arthur. Ashley Judd, 1968. I'm 10 years older than she is. It's also the birthday of scenic designer Michael Hotop.
That's a great name.
Yep. I've worked with Michael many, many times. So we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to something from the Rocky Horror Show. We're going to hear...
A Little Tim?
A Little Tim. Here he is.
On the day...
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole of the First Power, who I just punched in the face. I just punched her in the face. We are going to be seeing, you know, opening tonight at the Bass Concert Hall
yes.
is Le Fantôme de l'Opéra.
Or we can say El Phantom.
El Phantom?
In Espanol, it's El Phantom.
Oh, I was speaking French.
I know, I was reversing it this time because you normally speak Spanish. I speak French. I was.
May we?
Oh man.
anyway, last week I was able to interview the woman playing Carlotta. Whose name is Trista Moldovan, who I could not pronounce her name to save the life of me. I almost did an outtake on the reel of all my mispronunciations of her and then making her spell it out phonetically.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
It was pretty nasty. I couldn't get it. My little head, my little brain wouldn't work. But we're going to go ahead and play that that interview and talk to her because it opens tonight. It plays for a longer, it's a longer run than normal.
10-day run.
10 days, not the normal week.
Because I'm going to see it. Because it's the 30th anniversary of Phantom.
Phantom, dun, 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 dun. Let's listen, shall we?
Yes.
Here it is. Hello, everybody. I'm here. I have on the phone Trista Moldovan, who is playing Carlotta in Broadway Across America's production of Phantom of the Opera at Bass Concert Hall. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air, Trista.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're thrilled to have you here. And, of course, you know, Phantom is everybody's favorite show, and it's coming here.
Yes, it's my favorite, too.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be in Austin. The last time I was in Austin, South by Southwest was going on.
And oh, my.
I'm really excited to revisit.
That can be a good and a bad thing, by the way.
It was a really, really crazy time, but we heard some great music and kind of fell in love with Austin.
Awesome. Well, who doesn't love this town? Did you get the barbecue? You're not vegan, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And I'm really into exploring barbecue all around the country.
Lovely. Well, you'll be here again soon. You are not. We're pre-recording this. By the time my listeners hear this, I will have already seen you in Phantom here at Austin, Texas.
Oh, great.
And
I hope you leave a happy camper.
Oh, of course I will. How can you not? And you play Carlotta, the diva.
Yes.
So for folks that, I just hesitate to even ask this, but should we give folks just a brief rundown of the show if they don't know it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a large contingency of people who, after the show, you know, they'll be at the stage door, and surprisingly, a lot of people don't know the story at all. So basically, in a nutshell, it's about the rise of a young soprano named Christine Daae, who is secretly under the tutelage of the Phantom of the Opera, who lives in sort of the catacombs of the Paris Opera House. And my character, Carlotta Giudicelli, is the diva of the Opera House, but the Phantom does some not-so-nice things to Carlotta to sort of elbow her into the wings and give Christine her rising star. And it's about the relationship between the Phantom and Christine. And there's also a love triangle. Christine meets, or actually more reconnects with a childhood friend. And, there's a really nice meaty love triangle that goes on.
Right. And you personally have a relatively large history with the show, don't you?
I do. I cannot believe it. It's almost going on 10 years. I can't believe it.
My gosh.
The last time I was in Austin, I was playing Christine Daae on the national tour. And this is, again, like I think 9-10 years ago. And I played Christine for 2 years on the national tour, had a year hiatus from Phantom, and then did it on Broadway, did Christine on Broadway for a year.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's very interesting to go to New York now to continue. You still see lines at the box office for Phantom.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's ongoing. There's no end in sight. I mean, generation after generation loves this show, and it resonates with so many people. It is truly a Broadway phenomenon.
So what does it feel like for you as an actress to have this kind of association and intimacy with something that is so iconic in theater in the United States?
It's wonderful. I grew up listening, and I'm dating myself, I grew up listening to the double cassette tape of Phantom of the Opera.
It's okay. I come from 8-track days, so you're good.
Okay, well, I feel a little better. But yeah, some people don't even know what a cassette tape is, so that makes me feel a little better. I would lip sync to the entire cassette, the two cassettes of Phantom in my living room, putting on the entire show, and so I feel like I've had a connection with these characters since a very young age, and they've sort of been this music has been pulsing in my blood for years and years and years, and to have, I think maybe if there's any such thing as a manifestation, then that's it. There couldn't be a better example of that.
What I find amazing is somebody that's been with the production for 10 years still has an incredible resume of other shows that you've had. How have you found the time to do all this other work?
Yeah, well, Phantom is something that has been in the background of the majority of my career, and I've been lucky to duck out of it and do some other amazing projects, and then it's sort of come back into my life time and time again, and it always feels like home when I'm coming back, and I feel really lucky to be able to see it from different vantage points. After I played Christine on Broadway, I went for a couple years without being involved with the production, and I went back for 4 weeks into the ensemble, and to be able to see the show from that vantage point was so special because I got to really appreciate what had gone on for 3 years prior, and and it was nice because there wasn't so much pressure too, and I just love the show so much. I'm happy to be a part of it in any capacity at any time.
That's an interesting question. So here you've played Christine, and you've played lead roles in the production, and then you come back to play chorus. And as we know, with people playing leads, you get a dressing room with either a single dressing room or a couple people. So when you came back to the chorus, did you dress in a chorus dressing room?
I did. You know, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine. We were talking about the benefits of like having a lead role and being in the ensemble. And I think there's a wealth of benefits to being in the ensemble. You get to build something truly within the company. And when you're not on stage, I really enjoyed the social aspect of it. When I was playing Christine, I always used to say that I had to live like a nun. I couldn't go out. I couldn't hang out with anyone. I didn't really have time to socialize with anyone during the show. Whereas when you're in the ensemble, you really get to appreciate the entirety of the company.
Awesome. Well, that's great. So I know that we're running short on time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about White Christmas, because my co-host, Nicole Shiro, who is normally here with me, is not here today. And we talk about White Christmas incessantly, and we sing Snow all the time on the show.
Oh, of course.
So I was thrilled to see that in your bio.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, that's a completely different animal from Phantom of the Opera, and yeah, it's just so much fun, and it's so light and it's light and fluffy, but it has so much heart behind it too. And I got to play the Rosemary Clooney part and sing that amazing torch song, and it was brilliant. It's such a special experience.
It's a wonderful show. It's really, really fun. Well, before I let you go, I just need to, we sort of talked about it at the very beginning, but what are you looking forward to most in your trip to Austin here when you come here, if you have a little time off?
Music. One,
mm-hmm.
Two, barbecue. We had talked about barbecue.
Yes.
And three, hiking. I remember I did some hiking in Austin before. I had my dog with me on the road, and I enjoy exploring hikes in the different cities that we go to.
There is wonderful hiking here. Well, I do. Now you've made me go one little tangent off, because we just on our show last week, I made all the guests talk about their dogs and their dogs' names. So what is your dog and what is your dog's name?
My dog is she's Thisbe, like in the Greek
Pyramus and Thisbe, yes.
Pyramus and Thisbe, right? Mm-hmm. And she's he's a like 25-pound beagle mix. He's been my road companion for about 8 years now on different tours.
Well, lovely. We can't wait to see both of you here in Austin.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was Trista Moldovan. She plays Carlotta in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera, coming to Bass Concert Hall from April 19th through 30th as a production of Broadway Across America. For more information, austin.broadway.com. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me and Nicole.
Just me.
We miss our Nick Mayo.
No mayo.
Shout
just
out
Shiro.
To Nick Mayo.
Shiro, hold the mayo.
That is funny. We are plumb out of time. So,
Feeny.
Feeny, if you're listening to us on the radio, Austin Monitor News is next. Austin Monitor News is next. I said that really fast.
Austin Monitor News?
Yes, it's next. If you're listening on the podcast.
You're going to have some wicked sweet corn and a cum chowder with that, too.
Bye for Backstage at Offstage. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And we're going away with a little bit of Pippin in honor of the Pippin. Gentleman who won male actor. We'll hear a little bit of Ben Vereen.
Lovely.
Why be flurried, flustered? Keep those hopes.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Breaking Wind, the musical. The story of a hapless young woman who has problems with her gastrointestinal tract, and only way to fix it is to sing songs with a lot of bass notes.
No.
So here we are. We're backstage. We've gone through the backstage door. We're sitting here amongst the dumpsters behind the theater. And we're talking to all of our guests. I'm going to reintroduce everybody. Zachary Scarborough, welcome to Backstage.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
You are quite welcome. Emily Villarreal.
Hello.
And Nathan Daniel Ford.
Hi.
Y'all are also, last week, everybody that was on the show was a veteran. This week, everybody that's on the show is a newbie.
Exactly.
To be or not to be newbie.
To be. So I like TB or not newbie, TB. Newbie, that is the congestion.
Newbie.
Only newbies wants that.
Yeah. So, well, let's just start right over there with Nathan, since I was so mean and picked on you. You know what? There's really no way for me to tell someone to because they will yell at us.
I could get you paddles. You just need to
I understood. I misunderstood before we went in. So.
No, I need to get Lisa paddles, though. So
that would
you
be
have
fun.
Them. It would be fun.
That would be fun.
Put our faces paddles. On them with little like bubbles coming out saying, yeah. Water outside.
Get your water outside.
Listen to me here, like, no calls to action.
So, so I don't think I've met any of you guys before, have I?
No.
You do not believe so.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that's good because normally I get that role. They go, I haven't met Lisa. We were married for 3 years.
We had dinner.
but no, this time I got it right. So first of all, I'm wondering why I've not seen you guys. But Nathan, where are you from originally? And how long have you been in Austin?
Starkville, Mississippi. And I've been in Austin almost 2 years.
I know how to spell Mississippi.
Starkville. Where's that? That's a great name.
Starkville, actually.
Starkville. So. That's still another good
Even
name.
Even better.
Where is Starkville?
It's in northeastern Mississippi. It's where Mississippi State University is located.
Oh,
at.
Okay.
Is there nothing there? Is there a lot of, like, nothing? Is it Stark?
It's Starkville.
Somewhat. There's a lot of trees. That's so it's not too Stark.
Trees
but.
Are good. So, Starkville, did you do theater in Starkville, Mississippi?
I did. I started out just like doing little church musicals and stuff. And then in high school, I was in pretty much every musical and play that we did. So that was how I got the bug.
So were you always the star? Were you that kid that I hated?
I wasn't always the star. But my sophomore year, I did get to play Lieutenant Cable in South Pacific. So that was like my first taste of getting to be one of the leads. And I enjoyed it.
I'm going to just wash you right out of my hair. I am.
You know what?
That's a reference to the show.
I know it is. Nick would start singing about his mangoes and bananas if he was
here. He would.
Here.
That's right. Nick was in South Pacific, the latest rendition. So what's your favorite musical?
That's a tough question. My current favorite is Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of
18. You know why? Because the Groves is in it. Let's just
Did
talk
you see
about
it?
Him.
I have not yet, okay. Unfortunately, but I know the soundtrack well. I really
It's actually a really, really wonderful show. I saw it.
Now, do you know the Groves did a song for Beauty and the Beast? Did you hear him singing when you were at the movie?
I guess if he did a song from it, then I guess I heard him singing.
Oh, no, his voice. You can't tell his voice when he sings? Oh, yeah. Grubbs was singing to you in Beauty and the Beast. Yeah,
but was he one of the characters? Well, no.
He did, like, you know how they have the stars do the soundtracks for the album? Like, you know, Timberlake for Trolls and that kind of stuff.
Oh, no.
The Grubbs.
So he wasn't in the movie itself. So
he wasn't like Lumiere or anything like that. Yeah.
Lumiere was cute in this.
Yeah, well, Lumiere's cute and everything, to Lumiere's be honest cute. With Lumiere's a fun little... Mrs. Potts and Lumiere, I kind of love.
You know who I saw do Lumiere?
Who? Patrick Page?
Patrick Page.
Which is so funny, because he's just so evil. He's playing a really...
Well, this was before he was evil.
I know, and he's playing a really psychotic cult leader right now on TV that I'm like, Patrick, you do evil so well.
He does do evil so well, but now I'm afraid he's typecast.
But it makes me laugh when he's Lumiere. I laugh, because people are like, he's only evil. I'm like, oh no, he was Lumiere. There's nothing evil about Lumiere.
No, the big thing there is was, because he switched. He went over to the dark side. Yeah. But we're not talking about Patrick Page right now.
I do love Patrick.
We're talking about Nathan Daniel Ford.
Well, actually, my first musical in high school was Beauty and the Beast. So
did you play
the Beast?
No, I was a gargoyle, so I did
a gargoyle. That's kind of fun,
I was also
actually.
The baker, though, in the opening number, so that was a lot of fun.
That'd be kind of
good
fun.
Morning, Belle.
There you go.
Oh, I love it.
How provincial of you.
There must be more to this provincial life.
That's definitely what I was thinking when I lived in Sweden.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Do you also do non-musical plays?
I do. Primarily Shakespeare, since coming into Austin. I'm doing Troilus and Cressida, opening in June for Something for Nothing. And I did Twelfth Night for... Present Company Theater this past September at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah,
so.
They always do cool spaces. Yeah.
Yes.
We love the Present Company.
I'm still on 11th night. I haven't gotten up to 12th night yet.
She's working on
it.
She's been trying.
So both of you guys are musical performers.
Mm-hmm.
Zachary, are you a musical performer? Are you a performer at all?
I am not.
Good,
have you caught yourself performing now, though?
Absolutely.
So are both of you guys triple threats?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Why
was
all
that
this?
Nathan had no hesitation
on
that.
Emily
one.
Was.
Emily was like, nah.
So you're a triple threat. You're as good of a dancer as you are as a singer.
I actually can really consider my third threat to be I'm a musician. I play violin and guitar.
But that's not what a triple threat is, dude.
He's a quadruple threat.
Are you a dancer?
I do dance, I'm not as good a dancer as I am a singer.
So yeah, that doesn't count. No, it does. It's good. So you're a violinist, and what was the other? I was not
guitar, and I also play like an assortment of other stringed instruments.
I just think violin instrument. People that play the violin are incredible
because they're badasses.
They're badasses. Their instruments have no marks on them to tell them to where to put their little fingers. They have to actually hear the notes. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I think it definitely helped my ear as a child doing that, and I can just thank the Starkville Public School System for still teaching orchestra.
And do you still play?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yes,
yeah.
I do. Pretty regularly. I've actually even in productions in Austin, I played it some for a 12th night when I did that because we had a live band on stage as well. And when I did Dogfight for Austin Theater Project last year, I was in the orchestra and
familiar.
In the cast.
I saw that.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, God, I had a great question. It just zinged.
So good.
On.
Bye.
But, you've been in Austin for 2 years. 2 años, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
2 years.
2 ans.
Ni years.
I forgot years in Japanese. I need to brush up on that.
Where were you before?
For the Olympics.
Mississippi?
Yes. I went to school at the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, and got a degree in musical theater and acting.
Are you a sports fan?
Yes. I went to all of the Ole Miss games.
Good. You can talk to her because I'm not.
We already had a conversation. I was like, I will give up everything to pay for football.
I haven't been to a game since at UT yet, though, honestly. I would love to do that.
I haven't been to a game at UT.
There was an orange and white game this weekend. I just learned about it. I just found out what that was.
Did you really?
I did. Never heard of it
before.
But you
know what? I'm kind of proud of you for learning.
Aww,
that's very sweet.
I'm blushing.
I sit with her family at football, which is even funnier.
I'm blushing. So, Zachary, what's your story then? You're not a performer at all.
I'm not. I'm from the Houston area, Spring, Texas. I came here in 2005 to go to the University of Texas.
You know, I toured with a theater company to Spring, Texas
all right.
in 1973.
She also grew up in Houston, so she's acting like Spring's new.
Spring was another... When it I was, lived in Houston, it was a whole other city.
Yeah, yeah, because there was nothing in between. It was like the Woodlands was its own city, and Katy was its own thing.
So you are not a theater person.
I'm not.
But what are you? What the heck are you?
I grew up doing every sport you could think of, and then I came
rugby?
To... No rugby.
What about not, that I'll one with the it. With the brushes and the ice thing?
Curling.
That's
yeah,
curling.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give
so
it a
you've
whirl.
Just started this interview out by lying.
I'm just lying to everybody.
Okay. No. So you curling did football, baseball,
football,
basketball.
Baseball, basketball,
archery,
swimming.
Curling and archery. Those are the two sports I can still get in the Olympics.
What about rifle shooting?
Well,
why is
I found
that a sport?
I figured out very early that I wasn't going to be... a professional superstar, not big enough for most of the sports that I've played. I came to UT.
You could curl.
I could curl.
Just saying.
I came to UT, went to the business school here at UT.
We call it Macomb.
Macomb's
business
school.
That's what
school.
We do. And I mean, it's just that thing
UT
that we do.
UT appreciates that.
And then I started a moving and mobile storage business here called MyBox.
Yeah, MMS is what we call that. A moving and mobile storage. So yes. You're like the like whatever that thing is.
Don't where, say
so,
it.
So you, it starts with a P.
Yes.
So you bring me a little box to my house.
I bring
house.
You a box. I set it in your driveway, and then I pick it up and store it or
what
move
if
it.
If I don't have a driveway,
I'll put it wherever you would like.
And could you perhaps bring it and then sing a number for me?
Yeah, you should add that too. That could be a whole new
selling
point for
this service. I
could
bring one of them in a box, so when you open it.
So now, what is your connection to this? To this, I know you're producing, but you have a personal connection here, do you not?
Emily is my girlfriend. So when I met
her, that's what I was going for.
I don't know that I had ever really seen a full play. Now I've seen several of them, but she had this idea, and like we were talking in there about the Brass House.
Mm-hmm.
It all started to kind of help the Brass House and do what she wanted, and it was a huge success.
So tell me how you feel about... So I'm going to guess you were the only one in this room that didn't grow up with a thirst for theater. So do you remember the first show you went to see?
Here or ever?
Just in
ever.
General.
Ever is where I was going, but...
Probably some of her shows.
You don't remember the first one?
No, I don't remember the
your
first one.
Your parents never took you to see anything? Anything?
Your parents are evil people. No. My parents never took me. Oh, yeah,
no,
they
took me to the baseball field and to the football field.
What's the earliest show that you can remember seeing?
The Fountain!
I'm interested. I don't know this.
I really had zero musical... My whole family has zero musical talent.
Okay,
so I can clear the room out.
You have now seen musicals.
Yes.
So let's narrow this down to musicals. Do you like? Is there one that you like?
I've liked almost all the ones that I've seen here. And
you are not a very good interviewee.
You said you really liked Forum.
I really liked Forum. A funny thing. Okay. That was right here at the City Theater.
It
next
was
door.
Indeed.
You said you really liked Shrek.
I liked Shrek.
Thank God Emily's here.
Yeah. I was just about to say, look at
what
Emily.
Else does he
Emily,
like?
What else does he like?
He said he really enjoyed Shrek and Forum. He also, you saw The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid,
Georgetown.
Have you gone to see any of the more heady musicals like Next to Normal or Rent, perhaps?
No.
Yeah.
Don't
so that's,
worry.
That's our homework for you.
Well, Rent's on tour next season.
Rent's on tour next
with Broadway
weekend.
Across very America, cool. So you can see the Rent.
And just very quickly, since this is, how did you guys meet?
We met at a golf course.
To play golf?
Well, it was pitch and putt. Butler right across from Peter Pan. Yeah. A friend of mine was like, get up and get pretty. We're going to go play golf. And I was like, I'm not leaving until
wait,
I get somebody.
That's not a pitch and putt. That's a putt-putt, right?
No, it's a pitch and putt.
You pitch there? There's a pitching grid?
There's a putting place across the street, and then Butler is like a little par 3 pitch and putt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of that thing down on Barton Springs.
No, not Peter Pan. Like diagonally from
across
like,
the
so if you're
at
the, on the same side of the street as Doherty and like over where that parking is.
There's a pitch and putt there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that whole
lawn? I had no idea.
It's right there. It's covered in trees.
Aren't you amazed that I know what that is? I used
no,
to play
because
golf.
I knew you played golf. That was the one sport we could talk about.
So so y'all met at a pitch and putt.
Mm-hmm.
Were you pitching or were you putting?
I was pretending. I'm not athletic by any means. And
My friend,
do you dance?
I move quickly and learn quickly as well.
I like move quickly.
I'm changing mine from move well to move quickly.
But I like move well. Quickly.
I am a quick learner. Very, very quick learner.
Awesome. Shuffle ball change is what I like to say.
Flat ball change.
I shuffle ball change.
I'm going to flap.
I'm going to do a box turn.
There you go.
Look at us.
We're quickly moving. A pot of beret and a...
We're quickly moving.
So what got you into theater, Emily?
Oh, my mother, when I was little, would always play Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire movie musicals. Mm. And I loved them. And
did you see La La Land?
I have not seen it. I'm waiting for the hype to quiet down. I usually wait at least 6 months so that I can judge it on my own.
It's cute. Didn't deserve the awards, but it's cute.
Yeah, I've heard varying opinions on it, but I'm definitely
They had to dumb the music and the dancing down for their stars, but they do a very good job, more or less. So where did you grow up?
I was born in Laredo, Texas. When I was 7 or 8, we moved to Fort Worth.
Which was it, 7 or 8?
I'm teasing. 7.
Let's say I'm sorry. 7, I just saw just a cop show this morning. And I'm like, what?
Which cop show?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Can I tell you, Andre is everything in that
show.
He
is so good. And he was particularly good this time.
Andre Bauer, man. But you know what? They're all good in that
They're
show.
They're all good.
I love that show.
So you're in Laredo.
Terry Crews.
And you, he was a football player.
Yeah. I was just about to go, whoa.
It's very did you do theater in Laredo?
Nope.
When did you get the theater bug?
My mother put me in children's theater camps, summer camps. That's when.
And where that did not happen in Laredo?
No, that was in Fort Worth.
Cowtown, as I like to call it.
Well, there is a stockade there.
There it is. And where did you go to college?
Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York.
Okay, because I was going to assume you were at SUNY.
I thought you were at SUNY.
Everybody
too.
Assumes
you
were at
SUNY. Yeah. Well, SUNY Purchase.
Manhattanville wants to be SUNY.
I was
really
just in Purchase just
a
couple months ago.
Purchase is a great city.
And then you lived in New York.
I did.
And how long did you live there?
Almost a year.
Did you live in Brooklyn?
I lived in Spanish Harlem.
What street?
135th.
How very
and
in the heights of you.
Yes. No,
135th and Broadway, that would actually be Harlem. Spanish Harlem's east.
Okay, you got me there. I stand corrected.
Yeah, it could be.
It was east. Anyway, there's a rose in Spanish Harlem. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
135th and Broadway is up at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that and you did the top of the hill.
The top of the hill.
But not quite top up there where the Cloisters Museum is.
No, the top of the hill. So there's a 125th
You weren't going with me.
I wasn't top of Manhattan. Although I was speaking to somebody the other day and talking about Manhattan, and I told them where I lived. And they said, oh, my God, does it go that high? I said, yeah, it goes up to 216. They went, 216? Like that. They were just amazed.
Oh, my God. Well, if you get off at the 190th and Dyckman exit, you have to actually take an elevator from the subway to get up. Do. Because Fort Tryon Park is so – it's the mountains.
You have to do the same thing.
It's where the shale hasn't been broken down.
That's true. So you went to New York to seek fame and fortune on the Big White
just
Way?
Just to try it out. To actually say that I've lived there was just a childhood dream for me.
How successful were you?
I loved it. I was working two jobs, and I didn't have any time really to go to auditions. But I loved it.
Did you take classes?
No. After I graduated, I went straight to work. I got a job at the Trump Tower at Columbus Circle at a restaurant.
We don't say that word here.
At the Grump Tower.
Grump Tower, that's better.
At the restaurant at Columbus Circle. I was a host there, and then I also worked right around the corner at another restaurant across from the Met as a coat check and a host, and it was amazing. I moved back to Austin just to be closer to the family. It was very spur of the moment. It's not like I moved because things weren't working out. I just decided to make a change.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're happy that you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy too.
We're happy that you're here. So
I'm so happy you're so happy.
We're all happy. We're all happy. So I'm going to pick on Zachary again. But Emily will answer for you. If we're going to put you in a musical, what would it be?
Oh.
Probably
Rocky.
Rocky Dust Musical. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I say Into the Woods.
Oh, my God.
I think one of the princes or
maybe
the
wolf. It's both.
Yeah.
What a mashup.
Actually, you know what? I hear the Agony song right now.
Yes. That's what I was imagining.
Yeah, I totally hear that Agony song. Can you sing a little bit of it for us?
Throw me a football.
Just giving you a hard time. Here's the football. Well, you get to Lysistrata Jones.
You could.
That's basketball.
Well, Lombardi.
You could also do... What?
Lombardi.
Could do Lombardi.
Oh, if we want to do a musical, we could do Debbie Does Dallas. There's a few of the football players in there.
That's true.
I'm actually going to be an Aggie.
Actually, we could do,
That's a little whorehouse in Texas. Texas is doing it in August.
Yep. Awesome. Well, we're so happy that you joined us back here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll just keep listening to Stephen Sondheim as we make our way out of the woods and back to the backstage door.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Agony that can cut like a knife. I must have her to one.